from the perspective of helping a new believer become established in the faith. And we've already determined that the groundwork for that establishment, of course, is indeed the book of Romans. So we're looking at, not in a lot of great detail, but rather we're looking at some highlights in the book of Romans, and we're in Romans chapter 13 now. And we're going to pick up at the end of Romans chapter 13, down at verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11. This is a very important passage of Scripture for us to appreciate. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you again for our time that we have this morning to look into your word, and we pray that as you tell us right here in your word, that we would be very aware of the time and the nature of this dispensation of grace in which we live. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Okay, if you'll notice again at verse 11, he says, "And that knowing the time," the point the Apostle Paul is seeking to establish in the heart of a believer from verse 11 to verse 14, of course, is the nature of the dispensation of grace, the fact of time in which we live in. And look with me again at verse 11. Notice he says, "And that knowing the time," what's the question that comes up from that statement there? "And that knowing the time." What's the question that comes up? How about what time is it? When he says that knowing the time, well, what time is it anyway, right? Now, all of us are pretty sensitive in one way or another to time, just in our lives, right? Such as when it's time to get up and go to work or whatever, right? When you got to get up and go to your job or take the kids to school or whatever it might be. All of us are aware of the concept of time. What'd you say?
Just get up.
Yeah, that's right, okay? So when he says in that verse, he says, "And that knowing the time." There obviously is a connection when he says at verse 11, "and that." The word "and" there is obviously, it's a continuation of the thought of living under grace. Last week, we looked at verse 8 down to verse 10. Verses 8 to verse 10 there. And who remembers what we determined from verse 8 to verse 10? How can a grace believer living under grace actually fulfill the law? How do you do it? If you're under grace, how do you fulfill the law? What's that? That's right. You live on the basis of gratitude. You live on the basis of grace. And that is how you fulfill the law. Now, we're not trying to fulfill the law because we're under the law, right? Because in the dispensation of grace, you're not under the law. And when you live by grace, motivated by the love of Christ, then you are fulfilling the law. And that's what he drives at. That's what he says here. And then he follows that up at verse 11, saying, "and that." So not only do we have a conscious awareness of how it is that living under grace, you live by love, hence that fulfills the law, but there's also something else that we understand, and that is that we understand the nature of the time in which we live. When he says, "and that knowing the time." Well, what is the time? If somebody walks up to you during the day and says, "Hey, do you know the time?" What would you do and then say? You'd probably check your watch and say, "Okay, it's 10:15 or it's 2:30, whatever." You check your watch. Why check your watch? Okay, but why check your watch? Yes, to find out what time it is, but why check your watch? What's that watch for? What does it do? It's just a measure of time, okay? So if we were to come up to you and spiritually say, "What time is it?" What do you need to do? You don't check your wrist watch, but instead you check which watch? The Word of God, Scripture, the Bible. Well, the question is then, well, what time is it? What time is it? Who wants to answer? What's that? No, it's not the time of the Gentiles. What time is it? It is time to awake out of sleep. Why is it time to awake out of sleep, spiritually speaking here? What's going on? What, you see, when he says at verse 11, and that knowing the time, is something, when he says that, and that knowing the time, should the Romans, by chapter 13, know what time it is? If they've read and understood the book, should they know what time it is? Yes. Where? And how? Remember what happened in Romans 9 through 11? What the Apostle Paul teach us in Romans 9 through 11? What happened to Israel? And what's their status today? And what about the future? So from Romans chapters 9 through 11, you understand that there's been an interruption of the prophetic program for the present day dispensation of what? Dispensation of grace, okay? Dispensation of grace. So question, what time is it? It's the dispensation of grace. It's the time when Israel has been set aside temporarily and God is forming the new creature, the church, the body of Christ. That's what time it is. It's the time in which Israel's program has been temporarily put on hold for a new program called the dispensation of grace. And during that program, God is forming the church, the body of Christ. So somebody, next time somebody comes up to you and just asks you, hey, what time is it? What are you going to tell them? Say the dispensation of the grace of God. What are you talking about? I just want to know what hour of the day it is. You know, type of thing. But really and truly, what's more important for you and me as believers, as compared to knowing simply the hour of the day, whether it's 10 o'clock or 1 o'clock, or whether it's time for this event to start or the potluck to start or whatever, it's more important that we, in the back of our minds, we always are aware of the fact that it is the dispensation of the grace of God. That's what time it is. That's why we need to, quote unquote, as he says here, awake out of sleep. It is critical that we always remember the nature of the time in which we live. Now, let's just say that you and I were Israel back there in the Old Testament, and in fact, let's do it this way. Go with me to Genesis 15. Let me use this as an illustration. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. This is when God tells Abraham that his seed is going to go and become captives and become servants to another nation. And he gives him the time schedule. Genesis 15, look at verse 13. Genesis 15, 13 says this. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them. Okay, for how many years? What does it say there? 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance, and they shall, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of Amorites is not yet full. Let's just say that you and I were Bible-believing descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we found ourselves, like this prophecy predicts, in Egypt in servitude, in captivity. And let's just say that we were that fourth generation. He tells them they're going to be down here 400 years, four generations, and we are that fourth generation. That would have been Moses' generation. And if we were believers at that time, we believed the covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we began to talk among ourselves, and we began to say things like, hey, do you realize what time it is? And if we weren't talking about the hour of the day, like noontime or that type of thing, if we were to talk among ourselves and say, do you realize what time it is? What would we say? What time would it be? It's the time of the Exodus. That's exactly right. God said He would get us out of here in the fourth generation we're going to come out. So if we were that fourth generation, if we were Moses' generation and so forth, we would be looking for somehow a deliverer to come and get us out of Egypt. So if we would have gone around talking to each other and said, hey, do you realize what time it is? And of course, in the context of the sense of that question not being the time of the day, we'd have said, do you realize what time it is? We'd have said, yeah, this is, we're getting out of here. God, what's that? It's time to go home. Exactly. Now, what's rather interesting is that most of the nation of Israel did not know what time it was. When Moses did show up and his brother Aaron, and they showed the signs and wonders that God told Moses and Aaron to show them, initially the elders of Israel did believe. Remember that? They initially did believe. And then, what did Pharaoh do? Pharaoh increased their burdens and their labors, and then Israel didn't believe. They went and blamed Moses for getting them into this trouble. Remember that? So Israel was not aware of, quote unquote, what time it was. They were not walking by faith in what time it was. Well, by parallel, you and me today. Now, God doesn't tell us, okay, the dispensation of grace is going to last 400 years or four generations. He doesn't tell us how long it's going to last. But He does tell us that it is going to have an end. Christ is going to come for us. And that we as believers need to live every day in anticipation and in expectation of the return of Christ. How come, by the way? Because it's going to happen, for sure. And it could happen now. Even though it didn't happen just a second ago. But it will happen at some point. So even though He doesn't give us a specific day or time of Christ coming for the body of Christ, He does tell us that He is coming, and hence we should live in anticipation of that. And until that event, are we aware of the time? What is the time? The time is the dispensation of the grace of God. That's where it is. Every day that we are still here, it is still the dispensation of the grace of God. Every day that the body of Christ is on planet Earth, it is still the dispensation of the grace of God. It is still the time of the offer of amnesty. We were talking this morning about the middle wall of partition being down. Remember that, Ken? In the dispensation of the grace of God, remember that middle, if this represents Israel here, this represents the Gentiles, that middle wall of partition, Israel has fallen to the level of the Gentiles, right? So out here, you've got Jew and Gentile on equal ground. So the ministry that is in effect today is called the ministry of reconciliation. And that ministry of reconciliation says that both Jew and Gentile are on equal ground. And so now in this the dispensation of grace, that's what time it is. The nature is grace, amnesty, peace. Okay? Now go back with me, if you would, over to Romans chapter 13. So he says in Romans 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Why is it high time to awake out of sleep? Again, think of it in the context of the doctrine here. Why is it time to awake out of sleep?
Well, the end can come at any time, so we've
got to be ready. Okay, the end can come. The end of the dispensation of grace can come at any time. So, of course, we want to be aware of that fact. Good. Why else?
Salvation is near.
Salvation. Good. Good. Why else? Why do we need to awake out of sleep?
To be aborted.
What's that?
We need to step up on
ambassadorship. Listen, we're ambassadors today, right? The reason that we want to be awake to what's going on, as compared to just asleep to what's really going on in this world, is because we are the ambassadors. That's what it is. We want to be awake to what's going on as far as what God says is going on. We don't want to be asleep to what's going on. As far as Scripture is concerned, it is the day. It's the day of grace. And you're supposed to be awake in the daytime, right? When he says at verse 12, verse 11, I'm sorry. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The termination, the end of this dispensation of grace can happen at any time. Paul wrote that almost 2,000 years ago. And if almost 2,000 years ago, the return of Christ for the body of Christ was near then, how much nearer is it today? Isn't that fast? That's an amazing verse to think about. Just the sense of urgency that you see the Apostle Paul conveying in this verse. Now, hold your passage there and go with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and I want you to start with me at verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1. He says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief when." It is significant that it says a thief in the night. All right? Now keep reading. "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape, but..." And the very next word there is what? "But ye." Now, do you see a contrast there? They and ye. He says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day..." What day? The day of the Lord. "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day." See that? We are not of the night nor of darkness. You see how in this passage the Apostle Paul takes day and night, and they're obviously not equal. They're obviously set in opposition to each other. He clearly links the nighttime to the day of the Lord, to the actual return of Christ in destruction, the time of tribulation. And then he says, you're not of that time. You're not of the day of the Lord. You're not of that nighttime. Scripture declares that the day of the Lord is a day of darkness, a day of gloominess, a day of destruction. Rather, you're of the day. Of what day? He just got through saying we're not of the day of the Lord. That's right. You're of the day of grace and peace. Now think about that. What is the fundamental characteristic difference between day and night? Is exactly right. Light. In the dispensation of grace, in the day of grace and peace, light is shining. What is the light that's shining? What is it? It's the Word of God. It's Christ in you. It's the body of Christ. Holding forth the Word of life, for example. See that? In the day of grace, grace and peace is light to the world. There's no other light out there. You know that? It's the Word of God. Once this day of grace is over with, then what happens? The prophetic program picks back up right where it left off. The offer of that ministry of reconciliation ends at the rapture. The ministry of reconciliation ends at the rapture. The dispensation of the grace of God ends at the rapture. The gospel of the grace of God ends as an offer. It ends at the rapture. That middle wall of partition that is broken down during the dispensation of grace, that distinction that God made between Israel and the Gentiles, that distinction goes right back up right immediately after the rapture occurs. Go ahead.
So what is the
Antichrist? Say it again
now. When does the Antichrist...
Okay, the question is, therefore, when does the Antichrist come in? Now, you have to define what you mean by come in.
I mean, like, immediately after the rapture?
You still have to... Yeah, you have to define what you mean by come in. So let me answer it this way. If what you mean by when does he come in the sense of come to power, where he's recognizable, he comes to power at where he's clearly identifiable, where he signs that false Abrahamic covenant with Israel, that happens after the rapture.
Right after?
Yes. Yeah, basically right after the rapture, okay? Whereas if what you meant by that is, well, when is he actually living on the earth? Theoretically, the Antichrist could be alive right today. And he could be an adult right today. Right? Okay? So that's why I say you just have to be, when you say when does the Antichrist show up, the thing that you can pinpoint for sure is when he is officially recognized as the man of sin, because that's his first position of authority he gets, okay? And then he becomes a son of perdition. As the man of sin, he has Israel sign that false Abrahamic covenant. That starts that 70th week, that 7-year tribulation period, okay? That's the starting point of it. He's going to be around before that. He has to be, exactly right, because he's got a lot of things have to happen over in the Middle East, things like that. So a lot of things are going to happen after the rapture and just before the start of that 70th week of Daniel. Does that answer your question, then? All right.
So it, a few years.
Sure. Oh yeah. It could. Yeah. It doesn't have to be by any means, but it could. Yeah. Okay, so just understand this again then. Look at how he says it at verse in chapter 5, verse 5. You're still in 1 Thessalonians 5, 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, 5. He says, "Ye are all the children of light and children of the day." Now obviously the day in that phrase is not the day of the Lord, because he just got through telling us we're not the day of the Lord. We're children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night, that's the tribulation period, nor of darkness. That is, we're not part of Satan's program. See that there? Okay. So that being the case, verse 6, and there's a definite parallel here with Romans 13, which is why we're looking at this. Therefore, verse 6. Whenever you see the word therefore, what should we ask? What's it there for? He says at verse 6, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others." So why, based upon this passage here, why is it that we as believers should not be asleep to what's going on? Based on what he says right here. Okay, okay, good. What else? What's his point when he says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep when?" And what? And you're not of the night. See his logic here? See his thinking? See, when he says at verse 6, "Therefore let us not sleep." Why? Because it's not the night time. It's the daytime. Go ahead. Yes, that's a very good question. When he says at verse 6, "Let us... therefore, let us not sleep as do others." The question is that believers and unbelievers, all unbelievers are asleep to what God is doing. They're just not aware of it. Okay, so yes, that would include unbelievers, but definitely it could also include believers who are also unaware of the dispensational issues. Okay, and frankly, most saved people are totally asleep to what God's doing today in the dispensation of grace. Okay, if anybody who thinks you're going to go through that tribulation period, anybody who doesn't understand the nature of the body of Christ, things like that, they're asleep to what God's doing. What's that? In this sense, okay. The follow-up question is, how can they actually be believers then? In this sense, hold 1 Thessalonians 5 and go to Ephesians chapter number 5 here. How can a believer actually be asleep? How can a person who is a believer actually be asleep to what God's doing? Okay? Look at Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, verse 14, Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. This is all written to a believer here, right? So you can have a person who is truly a justified individual, but they're not really aware of the nature of the dispensation of grace, the formation of the body of Christ, the clarity of the gospel, living by grace, things like that. So they're asleep to what's going on. They're just asleep to it. Does that answer the question here? All right. Yeah, let's go over there real quick. Very good. Exactly. Yeah, there were some people there at Corinth that were denying resurrection. So they were just asleep to really what was going on, awake to righteousness, is kind of a concept, okay? So you can be a saved person, but just be asleep to what's happening. And Scripture says, don't do that. Paul says, just not be asleep to what's really going on out there. Yes, we can. That's exactly right. We can choose to wake up or choose to kind of, you know, sometimes when you wake up in the morning, have you ever been woken up in the morning and you're right in the middle of a dream? And, oh, man, it's like you're still just spinning. It's like, oh, boy, you know. You know? Well, a lot of Christians, they're like, they're living in the dream world. They think that what's going on here now in this earthly system, that's all there is. And that isn't all there is. That's a total facade out there that you see going on in the world. The fashion of this world passeth away. What an interesting verse. The fashion of this world passeth away. And that's not talking about trends that come and go. The fashion of this world passeth away. And this world is designed to keep everybody asleep to what's really going on. When you trust Christ, you're a member of the body of Christ, you begin to study the Word of God. Now the world system is designed to cause you to lull you and I back to sleep so that we are totally ineffective in terms of what's really going on in the world. Okay? All right. So did that answer the question about the Antichrist and about waking and that type of thing there? Okay, very good. So go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 and then Romans 13. 1 Thessalonians. So when he says at verse 6, 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, he says, Therefore let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep, sleep in the night. And we're not of the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. And we're not of that tribulation period. We're not of that day of the Lord out there. We're of the day of grace. It's time to wake up to what God is doing. See that? He says, But let us who are of the day, see, the day of grace. It says, be sober. Sober there is obviously the idea of thinking, a clear thinking about what God is doing. An awareness of what God is doing. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. The confident expectation that Christ is going to come for us and take the body of Christ out of here at the end of the dispensation of grace. See that? Verse 9, For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. What salvation is verse 9 speaking about? Salvation from hell? That's right. Salvation from that day of the Lord. Salvation from that tribulation period. See that? The body of Christ has not been appointed to that time, that event. It's a totally different time in history. Okay? Verse 9, For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify another, even as also you do. So if you'll take these passages, these verses, and go back to Romans 13. Go back to Romans 13, verse 11. Romans 13, 11, he says, And that knowing the time... Once again, what time is it? In that verse, when he says, knowing the time, what time is it? It is the time of the day of grace. It's the dispensation of the grace of God. That's what time it is in history. Have you ever sat sometime and just thought about what it would have been like to live at different times in human history? Let's just say that you and I lived at the time before the flood. Okay, so where are we going back to now? We're going from Adam up to the flood, Genesis 3 through 6, right? Genesis 4 through 6, I should say. I'm sorry. What'd you say?
No cell phones.
No cell phones, yeah. Okay. You know, internet, whatever. Okay, so we lived from Genesis 4 through 6. Let's just say we lived back then. Okay, there you go. What else? What was it like in Genesis 6? Every thought of man's mind was only evil continually. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Isn't it fascinating? Think about that. Okay? So you think, well, would we like to live back then? Now let's forget that one. Okay? All right, so fast forward now, about a year or so. So now you come, Genesis 9, you're after the flood, to Genesis 12. Now what would it have been like? Genesis 9 through 12, what you had the descendants of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and all their descendants, and they began to multiply and fill the earth, populate the earth, and so forth. And it was one of the absolute greatest times of world unity and union that has ever existed. Tower of Babel. Remember that? All the nations were of one language and one speech. They all got together. They all agreed on something. They were all functioning in unity and union. That's right. So, you want to live back then? What was inspiring all that back then? Absolute satanic inspiration. Building this tower whose top may reach into the heavens and so forth.
The tribulation will be a tower to that.
It absolutely will be. Okay, Joseph made the comment that the tribulation period will actually be a parallel, interesting, to really both those times. Every thought of man only evil continually, and the unity of the world together to try to maintain possession of the earth. Isn't that interesting? Okay. So do we want to live back then? Well, okay, let's not do that. All right, so fast forward now, you've got Abraham. You've got the time when, from the call of Abraham to prior to the time when they went down into Egypt, Abraham was just a little teeny tiny insignificant group. In fact, when they went down to Egypt, there was roughly 70 souls, you know, depending on how the numbers were counted and so forth, because there are three different accounts of the numbers. So do you want to live back then? Probably not, right? Okay. Okay, so now go the next 400 years. You're the developing descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're not officially a nation yet, and you're in Egypt under bondage. You're actually not under bondage the whole time, by the way. You actually had a pretty good life for about the first three generations. It wasn't until that Pharaoh that was imported later on came in that things got really bad. The first couple of generations was great in Egypt. So is that when you wanted to live? I don't need to go on and on and on, but think about different times in human history. How about Israel under the law? How about when Christ was here on this earth? How about in the dispensation of grace? Yeah, amen. How about that tribulation period? How about that kingdom? It's incredible to realize the nature of the time in which we actually live. We live in one of the most phenomenal times in all of human history, where God is offering grace and peace. He's delaying the wrath. And not simply from that standpoint that, wow, here we get, you know, the heavens are not pouring out wrath and judgment right now. But think about what's going to happen with you and me, the body of Christ. What's going to happen to us? You realize He's going to take the body of Christ and put you out there in the heavenly places to worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ in the government of His heavens for all eternity to His glory and honor. Can I suggest that if we lived back from, say, from Adam to the flood, that wasn't our hope. You live after the flood, that wasn't our hope. Israel, that wasn't their hope. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that wasn't the hope in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Tribulation period, that's not the hope out there, even the kingdom. As wonderful as the kingdom's going to be, and it's going to be unbelievably magnificent. But friends, there is nothing like this dispensation of grace in which we live. There's never been a time in human history in which God says, by His grace and peace, by a simple offer of salvation, you believe it, you become a part of what God is doing in forming this new creature to place you and me in the heavenly places for all eternity. When you die, listen, you really and truly are going to heaven. This is not just some figment of people's imagination that we like to talk about, oh, so-and-so died and went to heaven and so forth. You're really going to go there. You're really going to live in eternity in the heavenly places. That's real. And Paul says, and that knowing the time, see that? That's the time in which we live. So quickly here, Romans 13, at verse 11, he says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high, look how he says it here, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now watch verse 12, the night is far spent. What does it mean to, if something's far spent? What's that mean? It means like most of us in our current financial situation. We're way in the red, okay? You know, what does it mean if something's far spent? What's that? Okay, so think about the significance of what he says there, verse 12. The night is far spent. What does he mean by that? The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. What does he mean by the night is far spent? Had this dispensation of grace not come into effect, had God not stopped the prophetic program, what would have happened following Acts 7 as an example? What would have happened? That's right. That nighttime would have come. And how long was it supposed to last? 7 years. And then if you add the year for the extension of the prophetic program, which actually was Acts 2 through 7, so you wouldn't even have to add that year. When Paul says the night is far spent, he says, listen, guys, it is way past the time when that tribulation period should have come, but it didn't come because of the dispensation of grace. He says, oh, the night is far spent. It's way past the time when, had prophecy continued, that tribulation period, the day of the Lord would have come, and we'd already be in the kingdom reign of Christ. Not you and me, because we wouldn't be here. See that? The night is far spent. The day is at hand. He says, let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Because we are in the day of grace. See that? Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Those things typically are done in the dark. Typically. Right? They're done in secret. Those things are, people that do those things typically try to hide those things. They do it in the nighttime. And Paul is saying, one out of the nighttime. But instead, verse 14, we need to do this. We need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, when he says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, why do we need to do that? Okay, we have the old man. Good. What else? He's the light. That's right. You've got to remember, If historically, if this world should have already gone through the nighttime, but that something's holding back the nighttime, i.e. the dispensation of grace, the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the light of the world today, right? We're shining that light in the world today. But all around is darkness trying to put out the light. So he says, what we got to do, we got to remember what time it is. It's the dispensation of grace. It's time to wake up to what's really going on in the world. We need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ because He is the answer. He is the light of the world. Prophetically speaking, the Lord Jesus Christ said, in fact, He says this over in John 9, He says, I am the light of the world. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world, the night cometh. Had prophecy continued on, once he was out of the world, the night would have come, right? Tribulation period. Well, Christ indeed is at the Father's right hand. He indwells us by means of the Holy Spirit. He's still the light of the world today. But he's the light of the world where? In you and me. So that's why he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not only what we need, but it's what the world needs. See that there?
Don't you think
it's about time? Yes. You know, it is interesting, and it's good. It's spiritually, it is healthy to really stop and think often about the fact that Christ really is coming. Perhaps today. Maybe not, but He might be, because He's going to come. And there is some generation of believers, members of the body of Christ, that are going to be alive at the time He comes. It has to be. 1 Corinthians says so, 1 Thessalonians says so. He says, we which are alive and remain. So there's going to be a generation that is alive at the time that Christ actually comes. And you ever thought about the fact that it really could be us? It might not be, but it could be. And it's going to be some generation. Paul thought it was going to be him. And he wasn't wrong for thinking that. But remember, this dispensation of grace is not on a time clock. That's why it could be at any time, at any moment. See that? It's not like prophecy was on a time clock. That's why God couldn't act before or after He had act right on time. Dispensation of grace, there is not a stopwatch. There's not a calendar that God's keeping. That's not the nature of it. Did you have a question or comment? Or? It completely speaks to our Lord's long-suffering. So it's not an issue of how many days are going to go by. It's an issue of how long-suffering the Lord can long-suffer. And we've already seen that this is the longest dispensation ever so far. Go ahead, Mark.
You hear so much about people coming addicted to the Middle
East. Yes. That's correct. That's correct. That's correct. The point that Mark is bringing up, again, for those listening on the internet, is that most of your prophetic predictors in Christianity, they look at the things going on in the Middle East to determine where we are in fulfillment of prophecy and therefore how close we are to the return of Christ. And that's the wrong thing to be looking at. Because that isn't what's going on in the dispensation of grace. See that? That's not the right connection. Josh said he was recently talking with some of his good friends and everything, and one of them... he was meeting with a client, and a client knows a little bit about the Bible and so forth, and this client was saying that I think he was saying 12 years from now, or in the year 2012 or whatever, that everything's going to be different because of the return of Christ, and that's going to happen because... You know, when Israel went into land in 47 or 42, whatever it was, that generation is now fixing to pass, and that generation can't pass until Christ comes. Therefore, Christ must come, and so forth, within that 100-year span. That's looking at the wrong thing. When Israel was back in the land in the 40s and so forth, God didn't put them there. They didn't go back there in fulfillment of prophecy. It's totally the wrong standard to try to decide it by. You know, so you had a question or a comment? Okay, the question Rich brings up is, does it have anything to do with the concept of when the last person believes? That idea is generally taught from the book of Romans, chapter number 11. It says that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in 11:25. But I don't think that that's what that verse is talking about, although I used to think that that's what that verse is talking about. And I don't think at all that it's the concept or idea of a last number. Because if it is a specific number of people, then there would definitely be a time, not so much in terms of days or minutes or years, but number, limitation to it. I don't think it's an issue of number at all. I think it really is back to kind of what Denise was saying, just the nature of the long-suffering of God. If it's the dispensation of grace, grace means there is no cause. So there doesn't have to be one way or the other when God decides, okay, now let's go back to the prophetic program. So it's kind of interesting to think about that. Okay, any other questions? I know we're out of time here. Any other questions? Go ahead, Joseph. Yes. Yes, exactly correct. Yeah, very few members of the body of Christ really understand the nature of the dispensation of grace. Most believers anymore don't even believe in a rapture anymore. It's real interesting. And you have more and more preachers that are just saying there's, you know, this the concept of a pre-trib rapture just is not real. And you're going to go through that tribulation period. So this is a great departure. And not just now, there has been always, but... Just a little smaller and smaller group of people that really are aware of what's going on. So we want to be awake to what is going on. Okay? Any other questions or comments or anything? Okay, we'll start here in about 6 or 8 minutes.